Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Ukraine's president makes a plea to Congress for more help, how lawmakers are responding. And the Federal Reserve raises interest rates for the first time since 2018, how the crisis in Ukraine is impacting monetary policy.
There was already a lot of uncertainty around the pandemic and the things that are causing inflation, but now with the Russian war on Ukraine and the disruptions in energy markets and all the other things that are happening, it is a highly uncertain environment.
Plus, how inflation is hitting the spring road trip. It's Wednesday, March 16th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. In an emotional address to Congress today, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky asked the U.S. for more military aid, including air defense systems and more sanctions on Russia. He vowed that Ukraine will not surrender as Russia continues to bombard the country.
Today, the Ukrainian people are defending not only Ukraine. We are fighting for the values of Europe and the world, sacrificing our lives in the name of the future. That's why today, the American people are helping not just Ukraine, but Europe and the world to keep the planet alive, to keep justice in history.
Zelensky spoke through a translator for most of his virtual speech, but delivered his closing remarks, including a direct plea to President Biden in English.
You are the leader of the nation, of your great nation. I wish you to be the leader of the world. Being the leader of the world means to be the leader of peace.
Zelensky invoked the attacks on Pearl Harbor and on 9/11, saying his country is now experiencing that kind of terror every day. He also repeated calls for a no-fly zone over Ukraine, something the U.S. and NATO have ruled out, saying it would put them in direct confrontation with Russia. Our politics reporter Eliza Collins says Zelensky's speech resonated with lawmakers.
He played a really intense video basically showing what was happening on the ground in Ukraine and then made a plea for the U.S. to step up their help. And members of Congress walked out very emotional. Some were crying. Senator Joni Ernst said that this really made it, brought it home to members. People saw what was happening on screen and then felt like this could happen to me and what would I do? So it was very effective. Members of both parties felt really affected by what he was saying.
Zelensky also called on lawmakers to encourage more Western companies to cut ties with Russia. Here's Eliza again.
A lot of major companies have already chose to exit on their own, but of course not all. So this would be a direct plea for members to talk to the companies that lobby them. These companies donate to their campaigns. So it would be really asking them to use their influence to urge them to get out of Russia and not fund the Russian economy anymore.
At a press conference this afternoon, President Biden said the U.S. would provide another $800 million in security assistance to Ukraine, bringing U.S. aid over the past week to $1 billion. The new arms package includes 800 anti-aircraft systems, 9,000 anti-armor systems, as well as thousands of small arms, ammunition, and drones. Biden warned that the war in Ukraine might not have a quick resolution.
Now, I want to be honest with you. This could be a long and difficult battle. But the American people will be steadfast in our support of the people of Ukraine in the face of Putin's immoral, unethical attacks on civilian populations.
Also today, the International Court of Justice ordered Russia to suspend military action in Ukraine. The 13-2 decision, with only the Russian and Chinese judges dissenting, is likely not enforceable, but adds to the global condemnation of Russia's invasion. Separately, the International Criminal Court has opened an investigation into possible war crimes committed in Ukraine. The Federal Reserve is raising its benchmark interest rate for the first time since 2018. The central bank announced a quarter percentage point hike at the conclusion of its two-day policy meeting today. Officials plan to raise rates steadily this year, six more times, to tame record inflation. Chair Jerome Powell, speaking during a press conference, said the Fed will do what it needs to bring prices down.
The committee acutely feels its obligation to move to make sure that we restore price stability and is determined to use its tools to do so.
U.S. stocks rose on the news and closed near session highs after a volatile trading day. The Dow rallied more than 500 points, closing up more than 1.5%. The Nasdaq gained 3.8%, and the S&P 500 finished up 2.2%. Later in the show, we'll talk more about the Fed's plans to tame inflation and navigate economic fallout from the crisis in Ukraine. Americans' retail spending rose more slowly in February amid higher inflation. The Commerce Department says retail sales increased by a seasonally adjusted 0.3% last month from January. Economists say the report suggests that American consumers are able and willing to spend. Much of the increase was due to spending on cars and gas. Other categories were actually down slightly, which could be an early sign that inflation is making people more cautious. And in corporate news, the CEO of Starbucks, Kevin Johnson, is stepping down and handing the reins of the company back to former leader Howard Schultz. He'll serve as interim CEO while the coffee chain seeks a long-term replacement. Key challenges include steering the company out of the pandemic. Starbucks is also facing a growing push for unionization among its baristas in the U.S. Coming up, the Fed has begun raising interest rates. More on the central bank's next moves after the break.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
A tight labor market, supply chain disruptions, and soaring inflation. These were among the major economic issues before the Fed heading into 2022. Now, Russia's invasion of Ukraine is adding new uncertainty as the central bank tries to shore up the nation's recovery from the coronavirus pandemic. Chair Jerome Powell outlined the challenges in a press conference this afternoon.
The implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine for the U.S. economy are highly uncertain. In addition to the direct effects from higher global oil and commodity prices, the invasion and related events may restrain economic activity abroad and further disrupt supply chains, which would create spillovers to the U.S. economy through trade and other channels. The volatility in the financial markets, particularly if sustained, could also act to tighten credit conditions and affect the real economy.
So, what lies ahead for the Fed and for monetary policy this year? Joining me now with more on this is Michael Derby, a special writer for WSJ Pro Central Banking. Hi, Michael. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
So, Michael, we had known heading into this meeting that the Fed planned to raise interest rates, but a big question was how the Fed's projections for the path and the pace of rate hikes might change this year. What can you tell us about the updated forecast from the Fed?
So the updated forecast kind of did somewhat what we had expecting. You know, they're now projecting more interest rate increases than they had been back in December, the last time they gave us forecasts. And there's also a bit of a acceptance of the reality of what's happened with inflation. And now they have increased what they expect for inflation this year by actually quite a lot. And so it is definitely a noticeable shift in like where the Fed is. You know, everything was leading up to this, but, you know, now we have a bit more concrete sense of where they're going. So basically it means short-term borrowing costs are going to go up quite a bit more than we had expected before, you know, a few months ago. And inflationary pressures are going to be a more persistently difficult thing for them to solve. And there's so much uncertainty right now. That was one thing that the chair alluded to in the press conference, Fed Chairman Powell, that, you know, there was already a lot of uncertainty around the pandemic and the things that are causing inflation. But now with the Russian war on Ukraine and the disruptions in energy markets and all the other things that are happening, it is a highly uncertain environment.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. The Fed did have a full plate heading into this year, chief among those issues, inflation. What can you tell us about the Fed's plan to help bring higher prices under control and how it might change because of the crisis in Ukraine?
Well, so the crisis in Ukraine is complicated in terms of its impact on inflation. And obviously, it's, you know, fast-moving events that are just completely out of anything. You know, the central bank has to respond to what happens on that front. And one of the key parts of the Russian situation is energy prices, which is particularly difficult to deal with because energy prices, when they surge, they drive up in inflationary numbers, but also economists tend to instead view them also as demand destroyers, because, you know, if you have to pay substantially more to, you know, fill your tank up or heat your house, that's money that you don't have to spend on other goods. So it, you know, it creates a very difficult situation for the Fed. But one of the through lines through the whole press conference was that, you know, the inflation situation that the Fed is confronting, Chair Powell seems very confident that, you know, aside from all these hits the economy's taken, the job market is extremely strong. The outlook for growth is very good. And so he feels that the Fed has a lot of space to raise rates to try to deal with these problems without causing any, you know, great problems. They don't expect to create unemployment. They do not expect to drive the economy into a recession because, you know, I don't know how far you want to go back in history, but one of the last, you know, great inflation surges that this economy faced, it was back in 1980 or around 1980 when Paul Volcker was the Fed chair. And the way that he dealt with it was to jack up short-term interest rates to levels that very few of us have actually seen, you know, around, you know, just shy of 20%. And it caused a deep, deep recession. And it did, over time, most economists agree, break the trend of inflation. The Fed doesn't think they have that problem on their hands right now. They believe that what they're going to do to get inflation under control, the economy is strong enough to deal with it, and it will not result in a recession. So that's where they're coming from. You know, other people are not so sure, but that's what the Fed thinks.
Of course, the big uncertainty that you mentioned is the situation in Ukraine. How is the Fed thinking about or talking about navigating a situation where many things are still unknown?
The way the chair described it, he said monetary policy has to be nimble. And so that means that they can give some broad guidance about the direction that they think that they're heading in. And they can sort of describe where they think the economy is going, but they know that uncertain events are a given, and they know that unpredictable things are going to happen. And so they've kind of kept all their options open. You know, they've given us a rate rise path, and he said every meeting is eligible for action, so they can move at any time, but they can move more aggressively than they currently expect, or most people expect now, or maybe not. That's how they navigate uncertainty, the idea of being nimble. And so I guess, you know, that might kind of keep everybody, you know, on tenterhooks as the year moves forward, because it could change. And just in the way, you know, we didn't expect, you know, maybe 3 or 4 months ago to find ourselves where we are now, who knows? And, you know, the chair also made the illusion, you know, a year from now, nobody really knows what's going to be happening in the economy anyway. So even in the best of times, they're always dealing with that uncertainty. It's just more so now.
All right. That's Michael Derby, a special writer for Wall Street Journal Pro Central Banking. Michael, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, spring is just around the corner, so you might already be thinking about taking a vacation or road trip. But this year, amid high inflation, hitting the road is going to cost you. Gas in the U.S. is well above $4 a gallon on average. Hotels are up 20% from before the pandemic, according to Hotels.com. And the cost of eating out has jumped nearly 7% in the past year, according to the Labor Department. Our travel reporter, Allison Poley, says that's leading some people to rethink their travel budgets.
Some people are watching prices in the coming weeks and are going to decide whether they go through with their trips or not. So I talked to one family in Ohio, and they had planned a road trip to Kentucky. This is going to be their first ever spring break trip, and they plan the type of trip that they can afford. So for them, that means driving, spending a lot of time outside, and they're staying in an Airbnb because they found that was cheaper than the hotels in the area where they're traveling. But because gas prices are expensive and they're driving a minivan, they're weighing the costs of how much it will take for them to get there as opposed to the deposits that they've already put down. So if the cost of travel does keep going up, it ends up exceeding the deposits that they've made, they'll likely cancel.
And that's what's news for this Wednesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.